Good morning. Well done. You made it. It's a good morning. Jesus is alive. All is well. Yes, we're in a moment where things are in turmoil. Actually, none of us quite know where we're going to, what's going to be happening over the next few weeks. But can I just say the next few days or few weeks? Because this is not the end of the world. We are going to come through this, and we will look back on it and say, wow, it's always amazing when you look back and you reflect. And I'm praying that through this experience that we're going through, and that the world is going through, that we will learn, and our faith will be strengthened. And this morning I'm talking about community and the importance of community. And I think in terms of kind of what we're facing and the church, this is such a crucial element to our church life here, and how we are absolutely dependent upon one another. And if you're sitting here today, I hope that one of the things that you get out of this message is the fact that there is a strong, very strong link between us having relationship with the Father, but also us having relationship with one to another. And the word is very clear that actually there is that strong. But if we have fellowship with the Father, but we also have fellowship with one another. And there were some things that just as I've been reading and prepping today, I thought, wow, that's so encouraging. I've never seen or really focused upon that element before. So today we're going to be looking at the fifth part of our series on growth and multiplication. You know, guys, I am passionate about outreach and passionate about mission. It's been part of what I have been involved with ever since I've became a Christian. It's just been part of my journey. I'm very passionate about it. But do you know that mission is not the whole and the sum of all that we're called to do? It isn't. Because I'm also passionate about community and God's church and this witness that this church is and that every church is. I'm passionate about it because God's passionate about it. He's passionate about you being set on fire, about every single person standing up and playing their part. And this church not hiding its light, but shining for Jesus and being a witness, but loving one another, because the Bible says that our love one for another is going to be one of the great witnessing, whatever you want to say it, parts of who we are. But, you know, if I read scriptures like Matthew 28, it says, go therefore and make disciples into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. Surely I am with you to the ends of the earth. Romans 10 verse 14 says, how can they call upon the one that they have not believed in? Or how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If we read scriptures like that, we can think that actually our Christian life is all about mission and go. And actually, that's a very big part of what we're called to do. But you know, it's only a certain element of what we've been called to do. The church has been called to mission. The church has been called to go. But also, we are called to be in strong unity and in strong relationships, not so that we can just have a nice holy huddle, but so that we can be a more effective witness in the locations where we're being placed. So we can be more effective actually in outreaching to others. So we can meet together, encourage one another, challenge one another, fire each other up, support one another, give into each other's lives, and then say, now you've established that, now you go to that place, you go to that place, but now you come back and encourage us with what you've seen God doing there. Let's build the church up so that the church can grow and multiply and it can be more effective. But it's not just, well, we become a Christian and we sit at home and watch God TV and we just do something on our own. That isn't how God has created us. And it isn't actually, when you read scripture, what God has for his church, his community. Whether we like it or not, whether you agree or not, There is something very powerful, dynamic, and in the will of God for God's people to come together in strong, powerful unity and in community. And that rhymed. There you go. So God's at work doing something amongst us. And as I say, during this time, we've got an opportunity to strengthen community. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the government will say that we can't meet on a Sunday morning. Well, if they say that, what do we do? We just meet together in our life groups, in our small groups. Unless they say that, you know, more than two people can't meet. And then we'll just have to have a virtual meeting on Skype or something. Who knows what's going to happen? But God has got a great design in his church. And, you know, we are the church and we are community when we're gathered together, but we're also the church when we're in life groups. And actually, we're also the church and we're also community when we're meeting one to another in our homes. It's great. It's wonderful. So I am passionate about mission and outreach and sharing the gospel, but I'm passionate about community and his church. And I hope that you are as well, and that we see value in it. So I want to say to you guys, let's love one another. Let's care for one another. Let's provide the needs for one another. You know, that is what is going to be the greatest witness to those around and about. This is a great opportunity to be reaching out. Hey, I saw you that you weren't there on Sunday. Are you okay? Is there anything that I can help you with? I mean, who knows? We were talking today, we were saying, you know, when they were saying about, you know, if families need to self-isolate, you know, or whatever it is. But, you know, you could be the one that could say, you know, can I help you? Can I get some food for you? Can I go and drop it off at the doorstep in a safe distance? But we could, why not? Let's be the ones that are proactive, reaching out to one another here, but also to those in our community, because people don't have what we have. Do you realize that? We have got such a hope and faith and promises to hold on to in the Word of God that are going to sustain us. And so be the difference. Be people that reach out. Love one another, but also to those that are struggling around and about. So let's encourage people. You know, community and fellowship, different people have got different ideas about what they think that is. Some people may say, I don't need to sit down and build relationship with anybody. Some people might say, well, you know, why do I have to give up a Tuesday night to go to life group? I don't see the value in that. Some people might say, I don't want to open my life up to others. I like just to keep things to myself. Nobody is going to speak into my life. I do what I want to do. Some may say, I don't want to be accountable to anybody. Some people may say, I don't see the value in community. But, you know, if you want to stay in line with God's will and purpose, who wants to do that? It's a trick question, because of course everybody wants to do that. If we want to stay in line with God's purpose and God's focus for our life, then, and if you want to grow spiritually and personally, then the way that God does that, he does it through placing you in a community where, yes, God can speak to you personally, but he uses other people around you to strengthen and to speak into your life. He has a purpose in saying that being a Christian is not going it alone. Being a Christian, being somebody who's in relationship with God, is somebody also that is planted in the community. God hasn't designed the Christian walk to be an individualistic endeavor. We need one another. So just look at your neighbor and just smile at them. Don't touch them, whatever you do. Smile at them. We need one another. I am not going to be as effective, and you are not going to be effective in mission and reaching out to others if nobody's keeping me accountable. If nobody is saying to me, how are you doing? Are you doing it? You know, what's going on in your life? Because it just becomes about me and kind of my little my little world. That's why God has placed you here. And if you're in this community, you are special. You're needed. You're of value. You've got gifts and all kinds of things that can be part of building up this body. So now is not the time to step back. Now is the time to press in. Now is the time to shine. Now is the time to give of your gifts to one another. And if you think that actually in some way that we can do the Christian life on our own, then you've lost something of the vital part of what the Bible teaches about what it means to be a Christian. If you think that you don't need to be part of a community that serves one another, then you've lost something of the understanding of what community is about. And I know we've spoken a lot about community, we've spoken a lot about koinonia and all these kind of things, what fellowship is. We've touched on it before. But I just want to encourage you, remind you, focus upon, stress again, that being a Christian is not an independent, singular thing. If you're a Christian, you're designed to be in community. And yes, it's not always easy, it's not always comfortable, but God's got a plan in that. Yes. Us, ourselves, we're the perfect ones. Everybody else is the awkward one, yeah? We're normal. So community is not only necessary, but community is essential. And one of the things, ways that we do that is through life groups. And I think we have a very good percentage of people in life groups, and which is fantastic. But if you're here and you're not committed to a life group or just come along regularly, guys, you're missing out, but others are missing out as well on what you've got to offer. And I know there are situations and stuff that but if you're just sitting at home twiddling your thumbs, nothing to do, thinking actually you just can't be bothered, I'm hoping that today the Spirit of God will show us something of his heart. So why is community so important? Let's look at, we're going to read Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is a key verse for us as the church. We've read it time and time and time again, but we're going to read it again, and we're going to see again the blueprint of what God has for his church. And this is why community is so important. So I know that we've read it lots of times, but try to read it with fresh eyes, with the heart of God, with and if you think about this now, you know, maybe where at this point when they were doing all of this activity, maybe things weren't easy for them at the time. Maybe they were going through a challenging time. Where it says that they sold their possessions there in 45 and sold their possessions and goods and gave to anybody that was in need. You know, just think that it was obviously not an easy time for the believers. Yet the other believers were selling goods. They were giving of themselves. They were giving into the community so people outside the community were looking in and saying, wow, these people really love one another. That's verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now the exciting bit happens. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow! It's a verse that we've read so many times, but it's exciting. It's amazing. And as I was reading this, I was thinking of our building, our CLC building. Probably just Ian and Anne remember what it used to be like. It was like a one big hall, like a Methodist chapel with wooden paneling all the way around with a balcony at the back. And we had a vision, or the leaders at the time had a vision to put a floor in. And so people started to sell things. People started to give money. I remember as a teenager, or in my 20s, taking quite a large amount of money and loaning it to the church. It was paid back. But it was a sacrifice to do that. And then we got into the church and we were, I remember walking up, you probably wouldn't be allowed to do this now on health and safety, walking up a ladder with a concrete beam on my shoulder. No, Andrew's saying no. I wasn't in flip-flops like I've seen them in Uganda, which is horrifying. And so we gave money, but we also practically helped as well. And then slowly by slowly, we got this building finished so that we could use it for what God wanted to use. And it was exciting. People gave sacrificially. They gave to this work. And it was wonderful. And, we're starting the PM congregation soon. Woohoo! And so there's an opportunity there with that same heart and excitement and energy and to give financially, but also to give of your time to help the team that are going. It's not that we're sending this team and that, right, you get on with it. We're here behind them. We're going to help them. We're going to make this a success because it's all about reaching the lost. Okay, it's not all about the lost and mission, but it's about community. We want to set them up to win. This is part of us. They're part of this family. And but they it says that they gave where there was need. And so, who knows what need there might be. Somebody might ring you and say, I've run out of toilet roll. Or whatever it is. I'm making a joke of it, but actually, this is the time to press into community and press into relationship. And so that we can be that witness and really support. I mean, it's easy, isn't it, to read these scriptures and just say, nice story. But actually, there's a lot of practical stuff in there that they did. It wasn't just sitting here around having a nice meeting and just, they gave, they ministered, they loved, they met together, they ate together. They really showed practical care, love, and support to one another. Why did they do these things? They did it, they did live life like this. There were difficult situations that they were facing. There were challenges that they were facing. But they lived in close and strong relationship because they cared for one another and they met each other's needs. And I'm hoping that, we have good, strong relationships where we genuinely care for one another. And in our church communities, this is an opportunity for us to build and to strengthen that level of bond so that through what we do here, through how we are, through how we respond, that we will be a testimony to the love, the life of Jesus in the world. Other people don't live like that, but we can live like that. It's amazing. John 13, verse 35. It says, this scripture, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. What does it say? If?
Why don't we read it all together?
By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. What we have here and in community together, we take for granted. I really do think. I listen to people that are actually very lonely and don't have any connection or any wide group of friends. It's very easy to take what God is doing and has done amongst us for granted. I was listening to the radio the other day, to Radio 4. Anybody listen to Radio 4? One, Alex, two, yes, a few people. Why? There's a few people half-hearted, a bit ashamed. Anyway, I'm an avid Radio 4 listener, always have been. It's not because I've just reached 50 and I've just gone over. Always enjoyed listening to the radio. And there was an interview with a lady. She wasn't a Christian. They were just talking about that she was an art director and she worked with youth community theatre groups. And she made a comment and she said, 20 years ago, when I was working with youth and drama groups, the question that people were answering, the youth at the time, was, why am I here? And what's the purpose of life? She said, and then I went away, and she said, I've come back now and to work again with youth and young people, and I'm doing a production. But she said, the question that is coming time and time and time again that I'm hearing them answer is, or ask is, why am I so lonely? I thought that's really interesting observation. Not a Christian, so just presumably that is what people are asking out in society, young people now. Why am I so lonely? And we know that people are supposedly connected in a way with one another like never before. But we know actually that that is a false or shallow, at the very least, level of relationship. But I don't think it's a relationship, is it? It's kind of just, well, you know me on Facebook and, you know. So people are asking, why am I so lonely? The reason that people are so lonely is because they were designed for this. They were designed for a relationship with God first and foremost. But they were designed, people are designed to be in community with one with another. And it's heartbreaking. I think when people are lonely, and I know that this is a big challenge for everybody, old and young, where people feel isolated and lonely. And that shouldn't happen in the church. But I think, guys, we take it so much for granted that we have friends, that we have people that we can meet with, that we have somebody that we can cry with, that we have somebody that we can depend upon. It's a precious thing that God has. So in the world of technology, social media, constant engagement, all of that busyness is leaving people with a sense that they are isolated and lonely. God doesn't want us to be like that. God has created us. And yes, it can be annoying, you know, being in a community with people that maybe sometimes we grate, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing that God is placing us together, He's maturing us, He's growing us, He is fashioning us into something that is precious for Him. So God doesn't want people to feel that they're lonely. He wants relationship with them. So we've got a wonderful message. First, relationship with Him, and then with others. So I'm going to ask a question. If someone came into our church and they looked into our life groups, or they were a fly on the wall looking at the way that our families interact with others, would they be able to say, wow, these people are really living a life like that Acts 2, 42 to 47, where they're meeting needs, they're loving one another. There is grace in that church. There is mercy. There is speaking the truth in love. There is provision. Things are happening in that church. Would they see that in our church? Would they see it in our families? Would they see it in the way that we interact with one another? A church that's acting like a family, that is actively going for the blueprint of what God has set out for how the early church functioned, developing its community, loving one another. Would they see that in us? I hope that they would. And no church, I don't think, is there yet, is it? But we've got a vision. We've got a goal to go. And I want to say, this is crucial. This is not just an add-on to what we do. We have Sunday and we have a life group. This is community of what God is building is so absolutely crucial. and critical. So see value in it, see life in it, work at it, develop it. Let's go for it. Let's shine. Let's love one another in a way where the world looks and says, I have never seen anything like that before. 1 John 1. Are you still with me? We proclaim to you that we have seen what we have seen and heard, that you also have fellowship with us. And I want just to look at this scripture, because I think this is one of the scriptures that really stood out to me as I was putting this together. So let's start from the beginning. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you, to make our joy complete. This is the message that we heard from Him and declared to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. As I was thinking, meditating upon this, for me, there's a very definite link between our relationship with God. And if we walk in that relationship with God, then we are going to walk in fellowship and relationship with one another, because there is something that binds us and draws us together, which is the love of Christ, but the blood of Christ. We are family because of our relationship first and foremost with Him. As I was reading that, meditating upon that, I was just thinking, wow, I've never really seen, and you know, maybe it's just me, you know, maybe you're all sitting there saying, that's absolutely obvious, I knew that, where have you been? But for me, I was thinking, wow, it's amazing that that this relationship that we have with God, yes, it's this way, but there's definitely that in Scripture that's saying that when we have fellowship with Him, there has to be fellowship one to another, community, so that we're not just doing stuff on our own. It's not just me and God, and we're just going to do our own thing. As I read that scripture, very much I felt that it's talking about fellowship, community, one to another. The two go hand in hand. So it's as though John is saying that when we have a relationship with God, as a result, we get joined together with other believers and we become part of a community. And you might say, well, that is obvious. But it's good to know why we come together. It's good to know what God is building. It's good to know that God sees it's important. It's good to see actually we're doing something because God says that's what we should be doing. It's good to see value in it. So community is not just a nice idea, but we're joined together in community through relationship with God. You know, you've heard it before. There are a lot of one another's in the Bible. So many times it talks about one another. Excluding the Gospels, the word is used 58 times in the New Testament. So to get community right, we've got to live out these one another's. I mean, there wouldn't be all the one another's if we were just doing it on our own, would we? I mean, there's a lot of one another's. Love one another, forgive one, whatever it is. So are you ready to do that? Because this is God's plan and purpose. You know, I think if someone came into the first church, to that church that we saw described there in Acts 2, 42, if they came into that church and they said, you can have relationship with God, but you don't need to meet or be in relationship with anybody else. You can just you and Him. I think people would say that was a counterfeit. faith. Because they understood the meaning and community. They lived in community one to another. They devoted themselves to fellowship with one to another. It wasn't, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. It was part and parcel of what they understood church to be. That church was relationship with God first, but it was relationship with others. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the value. I think the first church just so valued, was so strengthened, was so encouraged when they came together. And it was like, yes, first of all, we have a personal relationship with God. He's the one who's forgiven our sins. He's the one that's given us hope and purpose and meaning in life. But that bond of relationship with God and with one another was so very, very vital and necessary. And it still is. So gathering together isn't just, well, I'm just going to drag myself along there on a Sunday because that's what I have to do. Going on a Tuesday, I am going to get there because if I'm not there, the life group leader is going to call me up and they're going to say, why weren't you there? And they're going to make you feel bad. It's a different attitude, isn't it? I want to go. Because this is part of my Christian walk. This is part of my faith walk. This is part of my identity as a Christian, of what it means to have relationship with God. Having relationship with God means I'm also having relationship. I'm built into a family, connected together through the blood of Jesus. I'm in a family. I can't do this on my own. I need to be with my brothers and my sisters. So next time, next Tuesday, go a skipping. Yes. Next Sunday, if we're allowed to meet, come. Wow, I'm going to come together because God's doing a beautiful thing. God's building his kingdom. He's drawing us together. I see purpose in it. I see vision in it. I see God's heart in it. I see God's love being spread and shed abroad through us meeting together in community. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Community, and the dictionary defines community as companionship, friendly association, mutual sharing of experiences and activities, interests, a group of people with the same interests, a brotherhood. I'm so glad we're not an interest group. We have been brought together through the blood of Christ. And I'm not going to talk about koinonia, but just to say the Greek word for koinonia, it comes from the root word meaning common or shared. So we share. We have a common unity, a common means to participate and join together. I found this great quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, "Some Christians try to go to heaven alone, in solitude. But believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people." What a great quote. A little bit old-fashioned, but then it was written back then. We're on a journey together to meet with Jesus. So there's a definite strong link in Scripture that if you're a disciple of Jesus, then your focus won't just be on your own relationship with God, but there'll be a commitment to other believers. So I want to just quickly go through, very, very quickly, 10 points, and I will be quick. In terms of why community is important. You thought I was coming to the end. That's all right, I've got a few more minutes. And then, so just want to go through these very, very quickly. Why community is so important. Number one, community challenges you to become more like Jesus. So Hebrews 10, if you could put that up. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and to good deeds. I want to do that, don't you? I need you to spur meet on to do love and to do good. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Nothing makes you more like Jesus than being in each other's lives. Speaking to each other, encouraging one another, building each other up. God uses community in a way so that we can become more like him. And that's the goal, isn't it? That we become more like Jesus. We become what he wants us to be so that we can fulfill our purpose in life, but he can do his work in and through us. I thought I was being heckled then. Like that. Just go for it like that. No heckling, I mean. But so community has been given to us so that we can be refined as followers of Jesus. Number two, community helps us to meet practical needs. So we've read that in Acts 2, 42. We read that, so we don't need to do that again. But in the early church, community was the place where physical needs were met. It was practical things that were being done. So can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? I need some help with the kids. I've had a really difficult week and the cooker's packed up. I'll cook you a meal. And we have that, don't we? And it's lovely when people have babies that meals are given and people are cared for practically. So in community, in our life groups, and as a church, we can support and love one another in practical ways. Number three, community is one of the greatest outreach tools to reach people for Jesus. John 13:35, which we read earlier. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And Andrew's been talking about invitational evangelism, and about inviting people to our church meetings, but also to our life group meetings. I don't know what on earth our friend Rachel thought of Ali's party, but we had a wild, fun time, and actually, what has resulted of this is that some connections and friendships were made on that evening, and she's already been invited and attended a church, well, a social event that came out of that meeting. So somebody who's not a believer, mixing with Christians, is now being invited to Christian parties and events. Isn't that great? I think it's amazing. That's how it happens. So Andrew, I like the fact that you're out there reminding us about invitational event. You know, keep on going. And it's wonderful that that we can invite people into our communities because they are special. The world doesn't have that. We have something very, very special here. So invite people. Guys, invite people to things that are going on. Think creatively about how even what's going on around us now, how you can reach out to others. I've kind of touched on that, but, you know, this is a once-in-a-generation thing, I think Boris Johnson said. So we may never go through something like this again. So think creatively. How can I not step back in fear? How can I, you know, be on the back foot? How can I use this as an opportunity to be front-footed, to really reach out to others? And just say, you know, if the enemy tries to put on you fear, take a grip of yourself. Take hold of those thoughts. Make them captive and bring them into submission to Jesus. Because the enemy wants to have a field day with your mind. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Take hold of those thoughts. It's what we're told to do. Take them captive. Bring them under the submission of Jesus. Because fear is not a gift from God. Fear is from the enemy. And it's one of his major tools that he tries to use. And he tries to use the what-ifs. And those what-ifs, 9 times out of 10, never happen. So don't be gripped by fear. Take hold of those thoughts, say, I rebuke it, I refuse. And sometimes you have to preach to yourself, don't you? I refuse to be governed by fear, and I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to live in the Spirit. So think creatively about how you can even act differently in the world around us through what we're going through. Number four, community is the place where gifts and talents are released. Ecclesiastes. So two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So, as we meet together, as we come and bring our gifts and what we are and who we are together, there's great strength that God builds in his church. In the context of community, we've got the opportunity to discover our gifts and our talents, and not just to keep them to ourselves or say, yeah, I'm a great this or I'm a great that, but use them to bless one another. So when you're coming together in your life groups and in church, we didn't have any prophetic words today. I want to encourage you. Come with a scripture. And you know, you may be thinking, well, that's not me, I don't do that. Then you're the very one that God wants to use, because there are no get-out clauses, because God always uses the people that say they can't do it. So if you're sitting here today, you're the one. Come with a word. Come with a scripture. Come with something to because that one word could break open something in somebody's life. Okay, five, community opens your eyes to the needs of others. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to get through this. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So within our community groups, we can encourage one another to look outward to help and support those around us that have got needs. We're called out to encourage the weak, to look out and encourage the weak, to encourage those that are struggling. One of the things that being in community and being in a community like this, but also in a life group, is that it causes us to not be self-centered, but to look out for the needs of others. And I need people to do that, and I'm sure you do as well. We're here for a purpose, and it's not just to have a nice meeting. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to strengthen one another. We're here to raise up those that are weak. We're here to stand with each other, so that we can be an even greater and more effective witness for Jesus, whether that's in India or Africa or Brazil or Crawley or wherever it may be. But there is purpose in community. It's to strengthen the believers so we can be a great witness, but that we can also have this outward focus. It's not just let's minutely twiddle with our services so that we can make them the best that they can be. That is just death. We want our services and what we do to be good, but we, let's never forget, the reason for community is it's for a purpose. It's so that we can first and foremost honor and worship and love God and place him at the heart of and the place where he deserves to be. But it's so that we can be effective. We can encourage one another. We can be upon this mission of reaching out to those around us and further afield. Okay. Six, community helps us to grow in relationship with God. Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. There is something about when you come together with people of the same heart and mind, with the same longings and passions for God, there's something wonderful that God builds when he brings his people together. There's something wonderful about believers joining together, being accountable to one another, and being a witness to other people and into other people's lives. We need people to check in on us, to ask us hard questions at times, to challenge us on how we're really living our lives, how we're really living out our faith. But and you know, again, the world doesn't have that. But it's a beautiful thing. How are you doing? How's your marriage? How are you doing with your kids? How are you doing yourself? Are you struggling? Are you okay? I'm so glad that we can be real with one another, not just the how are you doing, fine. You know, it's no, that's not real fellowship and community and relationship, is it? Okay, number seven, community offers opportunities to deal with stuff. It's a very technical, long theological word, that stuff. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be, thank you, Andrew Coakley, so you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There is power in confessing our issues, our sins, our difficulties, our struggles. That's part of being in community. In community, whether that be in church or whether it be in a life group, it brings us the opportunity and the chance to bring out things into the light, things that have been holding us back, things that have had a grip on us. And I'm seeing that more and more across the church, that people are being more honest, vulnerable, open, accountable, speaking into each other's lives, asking, would you please forgive me or help me to deal with this issue? Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. And that's God's plan and purpose, is that he's through community, through what he's doing here, that our lives may be restored, made whole, that we may be the people that God designed us to be. Just quickly then, 8, community teaches you to work through conflict. 1 Corinthians 10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions amongst you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. So you know what's going to happen inevitably when people come together, sooner or later. There will be some conflict or some fallout or something that is going to happen that is going to upset another person. Do you know what I mean? Thank you, Andrew. It's a little too vocal from the back there. Sooner or later. And you know what the wonderful thing is? That we're not called to give people the cold shoulder. We're not called to ignore people. We're not called to gossip and backbite and say, you know what, mate? What we're called to do is to work through our divisions so that we can be this united body of believers. And, you know, I think that's a true test of maturity is a true chest. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, moving on. A true test of maturity is when we can disagree and we can have the maturity to go and deal with issues and conflicts and restore that unity that God has for his church. Because we're all going to agree, but there is a mechanism for putting and restoring relationships, putting relationships right. Okay, number 9, community gives you a chance to forgive, kind of on the same lines, 1 Peter 4. Above all, love each other deeply. Guys, this is how God's saying that we should be in community together. Love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should give whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. There is something beautiful and precious, unique and wonderful when believers open up their hearts and their homes and their lives to one another. Come over. Spend time with us. I'm going to open my life up to you, and I want to live with short accounts with God and with others as well. And even when people hurt us or do stuff, do you know what the stuff that we can, and all of every single person in this room, I'm sure people have done things to, or they could have the right to be offended. But guys, life is too short to be holding grudges and offense. Put it right. And community is the place where we actually can choose to make the decision to forgive one another and those that have offended us. And lastly, community is where we give, this is number 10, where we give and receive love. Again, a similar emphasis, but Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Do you know why? I think I heard someone say recently, do you know why people go into pubs and why they, it's because as they walk through the door, someone says, oh, good evening, Jim. Or, oh, somebody knows my name. Don't know where Jim came from, but there you go. It's interesting how there is a need for people to feel that they belong and that they feel that they love. Somebody's recognized. Someone was talking about it in the church. I can't remember who it was. There's an important thing in people. Somebody knows my name. I'm recognized. I belong here. That's why people go to these, you know, these clubs and these other, but you know, the church is so much more than a club and a social club, isn't it? But it's important that, and we show love one to another. It's something in us that God's designed us that way, that we see value in each other, that we love one another because we have been made relational by God. And I am finishing up now. So it's more amazing that God gives us the gift to love and recognize and see value in one another. So guys, I want to encourage you, you know, the dynamics of what happens when we meet together, God's at work. Hi, great to see you. That can mean a massive amount to somebody. And whether we like it or not, when we meet together and we love one another, we are representing the Father. His Spirit is moving. His Spirit is loving upon people through you. So recognize that. This isn't just coming together on a Sunday. There is a powerful work, an activity of the Holy Spirit that God is doing through each one. So just to wrap up, community is necessary, is essential, and it's a beautiful thing. Let's see value in what God is doing amongst us. The early church lived out community, and they provided what was available. They met each other's needs. And we can do the same. And what was the result of this Acts 2:42, this recognizing that God is amongst us, inputting into each other's lives, living with short accounts, living differently to how the world lives? The result was that the church grew daily. There was multiplication. And you know, the same thing can happen today. You know, if ever there is a time where people want community and they want to see something different, they want to see hope, they want to have this answer to why do I feel so lonely? The answer is the church. The answer is Jesus. The answer is what is happening here. And the more we can show that to people, invite people to come, the more that we can live this out, the more that the world are going to find actually what they're looking for. God desires every believer to be in a functioning, equipped, released, an anointed member of a local church. The first believers lived on mission. They lived for one another. They cared for one another. They ministered to one another. They encouraged one another in the purposes of God. And I'm going to finish with a scripture, and it's a prayer. And then I would like us just to pray for one another, just quickly. Pray that God is going to release this to a greater degree in and through each one of us. And let's be sensitive as well. Let's pray for one another, for those of us that maybe the enemy is coming and feeding a whole lot of lies or whatever it is. Let's pray for one another. But Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11, I don't think you've got that in there, I don't think, but I'm going to read this to you. My prayer is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you, Lord, would fill us afresh, that our love for you may abound. Lord, that we may see value in one another and each other. Lord, that you'd strengthen us. Lord, that our community, our church, our life groups, Lord, those gatherings that we have together would be places of extravagant love and of mercy and of the life of your Spirit, God, moving amongst us. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for one another. Thank you for every person that is a member of this church. Thank you, Father, for joining them to us, one to another, together. Thank you for the gifts and talents that you've put in their lives that bring such a richness and bring, Lord, all of, Lord, the life of your Spirit to this church. I pray, Father, that you would again cause us to recognize, Lord, the importance of meeting together. I pray, Father, that you would remind us again that we have fellowship with you, but with one another as well. Lord, thank you for that revelation and that promise to us. We're so grateful, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. I thank you that you're a faithful, incredible, wonderful, a surprising God. I thank you've never failed and you never will, Lord, in the future. And so I thank you, Lord, that we can look forward, Lord, with hope and faith and encouragement and joy, Lord. Amen.